हरे कृष्ण।
Hare Krishna, welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji to enlighten us on special topics. Today is very auspicious day. It is appearance of Srimati Janava Mata and appearance of Srimati Sita Devi and disappearance of Madhu Pandit. So before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I request Tiffany Mataji, please take over for a brief introduction. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami. After completing engineering studies from the University of Delhi and IIT Kharagpur, Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji gathered a few years of corporate work experience with an IT MNC in Mumbai. Thereafter, he decided to serve the society at large as a resident monk at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, ISKCON Chaupati in Mumbai. For the last 12 years, he has been actively involved in sharing the essence of Vedic scriptures with others at a number of corporate, social, and educational enterprises. Back at the temple, Prabhuji also heads the temple IT department and assists in youth outreach. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your valuable time and association this morning. We are very, very fortunate to have you on this call. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for your kind words. And it's my great honor and privilege to be amidst all of you today and share some Krishna Katha that I've been hearing from devotees. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvai Namaha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschayata Deshtarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I hope I'm audible. Can someone just confirm?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. It is very clear. Your voice is clear.
Thank you so much, Madhuri. So once again, I would like to thank all the devotees who have gathered this morning to chant the holy names of the Lord and to hear from the Shastras, hear from the lives of great devotees. And such narrations, it is explained in the scriptures that such narrations from the scriptures about the Lord and His dear devotees, they not only purify our hearts, but they also, when we glorify the devotees for the qualities that they have, we also manage to imbibe, you know, some of their qualities within our own lives. And our attempt to please Krishna is also fulfilled to a certain extent, to a great extent actually. So just like Mataji was mentioning that this is the holy appearance day of the appearance day of Janava Mata, holy appearance day of Mother Sita, the consort of Lord Ramachandra, and also the disappearance of Madhu Pandit. So we'll make an endeavor to glorify these devotees, because like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned that, you know, no matter how elaborately we describe the qualities of the Lord and His devotees, the qualities of the Lord and as imbibed and as it is imbibed by His devotees is actually unlimited. And just like a bird that can fly according to its own capacity, different birds can fly to different heights as per their capacity. So similarly, no, depending on our capacity, we can glorify the devotees. Depending on, you know, the limited knowledge that we have, we can glorify the devotees and beg and pray for their mercy to be able to advance on the path of devotional service. Of course, when we hear about the lives of such great devotees, we are humbled in a sense that we get a glimpse of, you know, the time that has been wasted in this material world and how much work is still left for all of us. And the lives of these great souls, they actually give us the hope. They actually give us direction to be able to advance on the path of Krishna consciousness. So depending on the limited time that we have, we'll try to see how much we can cover. So I'll begin by sharing some glories of Mother Sita, the consort of Lord Ramchandra. Of course, when we talk about Mother Sita, she's none other than the goddess of fortune herself. And like we mentioned that according to our capacity, we are utterly disqualified to speak anything on the exalted nature of, you know, Mother Sita. We can only repeat what we have heard about her glories, and we can just meditate on the qualities that we have been hearing, so that somehow or the other we are able to attract that mercy of Mother Sita into our own lives. We can also try to imbibe an iota of the qualities that she has demonstrated in her pastimes, along with when she appeared along with Lord Sri Ramachandra in the Treta Yuga. And the great acharyas over a period of time, they have helped us see these pastimes in the correct light, and they have helped us understand the lessons that the Lord and his consort, they come and they try to teach us. So it is mentioned that Ramayan is, the meaning of the word Ramayan is the travels of Lord Ramachandra, Ramayana. Rama is Lord Sri Ramachandra and Ayana is his travels. So the meaning of the word Ramayan is Ramayana. But there are alternative names of Ramayan also that have been given. One of the great acharyas in the Sri Sampradaya, whose name is Sri Vedanta Desika. So he's a very reputed personality. And Sri Vedanta Darshika, he mentions that there are two alternate names of Ramayana that could be given. So one of the names that he mentions is Paulasya Vadha. Paulasya is the name of Ravana. He was the son of Pulatsya Muni. So Paulatsya Vadha, he says that Ramayana is all about killing of Ravana. And then the other name that he mentions is Sitayam Charito Mahat, that Ramayana is nothing but glories of Mother Sita. It is also mentioned that the entire Ramayana, if we look from, you know, a particular perspective, the entire Ramayana actually revolves around the life of Mother Sita. The Balakand is nothing but the introduction of Mother Sita and her marriage with Lord Sri Rama. The Ayodhya Kand is about how Mother Sita, she joined Lord Ramchandra on the exile to the forest for 14 years. The Ayodhya Kand, the Aranya Kand, is how Sita Devi is abducted by Ravana in the form of a mendicant, and how Sita Devi, she gets attracted to Marich in the form of a golden deer, and that. The Kishkindha Kand is all about the search for Mother Sita. The Yuddha Kand is about the fight to rescue Mother Sita. And the Sundar Kand is about her departure, about her disappearance, about her going to the ashram of Valmiki Muni, about her sons Lav and Kush, and how she closes down her pastimes and disappears back into the Mother Earth. So some say that Ramayana should actually be Sita Ayana, but because Valmiki Muni, you know, devotees who are very much attracted to the personality of Mother Sita more than the personality of Lord Ramchandra, they said they blame Valmiki Muni for naming Ramayan upon Lord Ramchandra. He says because Valmiki Muni himself was a male person, therefore he named this entire scripture on Lord Ramchandra, but actually it should be named as Sitayana. And then some acharyas, they mentioned that it's not Ramayana, it is Ramayana, because Rama is another name for the goddess of fortune, another name for Mother Sita. And therefore, it is actually Ramayana. In fact, when we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find before beginning the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the 10th canto, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, at the end of the 9th canto, he gives the Shruti Phal. He gives the result of anyone who has heard and studied this 9th canto, which is about the pastimes, appearance and pastimes of Lord Sri Ramachandra. He says that one who reads this 9th canto very scrutinizingly, the glories of Lord Ram, he will be free from envy, Sukadeva Goswami mentions. And that is what he says is the prerequisite for anyone to enter Krishna Leela. Unless and until someone is free from envy. And how can one be free from envy? When do you feel envious? It is mentioned. We feel envious when we see someone getting more than us or someone enjoying more than us. So conditioned mind starts that comparison and the conditioned mind starts feeling envious. But then, like for example, if in a classroom there is a student who has been studying very hard and who had been expecting good grades in his examination, but then he finds that his neighborhood friends, he managed to get more, much better grades than he himself. So naturally, there is a sense of comparison and there is a sense of feeling envious. But then it is said that if the mother of that very child, she during her student days, if she had performed worse than her, child, she doesn't feel envious about her child. If the mother, in the same examination, many years back, if she didn't perform well or she performed worse than her son, so she doesn't feel envious. She feels happy. So why is it that when there is a comparison between the student and his friend, there is a sense of envy? And when there is a comparison between the mother and her son, that enviousness is not there. Because it is said that when that feeling of mamatva is there, when that feeling of belonging is there, when that feeling of empathy is there, we don't feel envious. And the same holds true for Ramayana. That is the purpose of Ramayana. When we read Ramayana has a lot of karuna ras, a lot of sad episodes, so to say. To begin with, Dasharath Maharaj wanted to enthrone Lord Ramchandra as the king of Ayodhya. But then due to certain vows and due to the circumstances, he is forced to send Lord Ramchandra into the forest for exile for 14 years. And then when Lord Ramchandra has to go into exile, he has all the good qualities, but still he has to suffer so much. And when the readers of Ramayana, they start empathizing, why does Lord Ramchandra has to suffer like this? Why Mother Sita had to be kidnapped the way it was? Why did she had to suffer in the Ashok Vatika for so much of time? When there is that feeling of empathy, when there is that feeling of belongingness, when we share the karuna ras that is demonstrated by the Lord and his devotees in this Ramayana, when we partake of those emotions, that is when we feel that the Lord is actually mine. He should not be suffering this way. He should actually be enjoying. And only when a person is non-envious, only when a person feels that this is not how things should have been going, that is when we can actually relish the pastimes of the Lord. That is when there will not be any comparison that why should the Lord only enjoy? Why should the Lord only have the company of so many gopis in the groves of Vrindavan? And why should the Lord be, having pastimes all through the day and, with his friends? And why do only I have to struggle so hard in this material world? So if that feeling of belongingness is there, if that feeling of feeling for the Lord is there, that is when we are able to appreciate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Sukhdev Goswami mentions that in order to be able to appreciate Krishna Leela, one has to first appreciate Rama Leela. And upon appreciating Rama Leela, one will be free from this envious attitude. And that's how appreciating Krishna Leela will be very much be possible. So if we look in our discussion today, we'll discuss upon three things. We'll discuss about the appearance of Mother Sita in Mithila. We'll discuss about the way she has been introduced in Ramayana for the very first time by Valmiki Muni, very beautifully Valmiki Muni, the way he presents or introduces Mother Sita in Ramayana. And we'll try to cover some of the qualities of Mother Sita as mentioned by Janak Maharaj. So it is said that Ramayana describes the history of Maharaj Janak. So one of the ancestors of Maharaj Janak, his name was Nimi, King Nimi. And one time King Nimi, he was performing a sacrifice. And in his sacrifice, he had called his spiritual master, his guru, Vasishtha. But Vasishtha, he had some other commitments in the heavenly planets. And so Vasishtha said that maybe I'll first go and attend my commitments in the heavenly planets. And Nimi is my disciple. He will wait for me. And once I return, I'll attend to the sacrifice that's being conducted by Maharaj Nimi. So that's how Vasishtha, he goes to the heavenly planet. And Nimi Maharaj, he finds that Vasishtha is absent. So he makes some alternate arrangements and he just conducts the yajna. And when Vasishtha Muni, he returns back, he finds that the yajna is all over. And that is how Nimi, he curses Vasishtha. Nimi Maharaj, he curses Vasishtha that what kind of a disciple are you? What kind of a disciple are you? You didn't even wait for your guru for the sacrifice to be completed. And therefore, I curse you to die immediately. That's how Vasishtha, he curses Nimi Maharaj. And Nimi Maharaj also, he becomes so upset. He also curses Vasishtha in return. And he says, what kind of guru are you? Just because you were getting some more money in the heavenly planets, you preferred going to the heavenly planets. So I also curse you to die. So that is how both of them curse each other and both of them die. Now the Brahmanas who are present over there, they are totally confused what to do. And so they request both of them that would you please kindly come back to life because we need both of you. So Nimi Maharaj, because he was already detached from the bodily conception, he mentions that I'm done with this body. I'm not coming. I am done with my responsibilities as far as my bodily designations are concerned. And therefore, I have no desire to come back into a material body once again. And that's how Nimi Maharaj, he departs from there. But Vasishtha, he knew very well that he had to play a role in the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And he had some service to be rendered to the Lord. So Vasishtha, he comes. And the Brahmanas over there, they churn the body of Nimi Maharaj. In Sanskrit, it is known as mithi or manthan. So when they churned the body of Nimi Maharaj, Mithi Janak was born by the churner. Janak means one who is born and Mithi means born by churning. So Mithi Janak is born. And this king, Mithi Janak, so every king in that particular parampara, in that particular succession is named as Janak. And the name of Sita Devi's father, his name is Kshiradhwaja Janak. So it is explained that how one time this Kshiradhwaja Janak, he was conducting a yajna. And he had taken this vow that, wherever the plow would get stuck, he would distribute charity. So that's how the plowing was being done. And at one point of time, the plow really stuck. And no matter how much charity Janak Maharaj was giving, the plow was just unable to come out. So Janak Maharaj ordered the place to be dug. And when they dug up the whole place, they found a golden box And when that golden box came up, there was this beautiful little girl inside. And because she was born with the tip of the plow, the tip of the plow is known as Sita. And because she was born out of the tip of the plow, she was called Sita. And because the kings in that particular kingdom of Mithila, they were very much spiritually oriented and they were above the bodily conception, it is mentioned. Therefore, the name of that place was Videha. Deha means the body, and Videha means one who is not interested in this body, one whose focus is beyond this body. So the name of the place was Videha. And this young little girl, the beautiful little girl who appeared in Videha, her name came out to be known as Vaidehi. And it is mentioned that that's how she got the name of Sita and Vaidehi. And it is said that Janak Maharaj, he had put a very unique condition for her marriage. I know we have heard this pastime many a times, but then the more we hear, the more we are able to appreciate the position of Mother Sita. So Janak Maharaj, he had put a condition that Janak Maharaj had a Shiva bow, a bow that was given by Lord Shiva to Janak Maharaj. And this bow was so heavy that 5,000 men were needed to lift that bow. And one time it is said that when Sita was very young, a small little girl, she had been playing with a ball in the nearby garden. And the ball somehow or the other came into the palace and went underneath the place where that bow was kept. So the bow had been guarded by many guards there. And this young girl, Sita, she just came, she picked that bow with her left hand, lifted it up, picked up the ball, put the bow down, and she went. And when the guards, they looked, they were utterly shocked, because the bow that even 5,000 able-bodied men had difficulty lifting, how could this small little girl, you know, she could lift this bow? So the servants, they reported to Janak Maharaj, and Janak Maharaj called Sita and asked that, did you really lift that bow? And Sita was so panicked that, and out of panic, she said that, please forgive me, I did lift that bow, but I kept it back at the same place. I didn't throw it or I didn't, you know, take it away. I have kept that bow back in the same place. So that made Janak Maharaj think that definitely she is a very special person. She is a very special personality, and no ordinary person can become her husband. And therefore, Janak Maharaj had put this condition that only someone who is able to lift this bow and string it can marry Sita. And that's how Vishwamitra Muni, he was aware of this particular condition of Janak Maharaj, and he knew that he had to play this role in uniting the Lord and his eternal consort, the goddess of fortune, Mother Sita. And that is how Vishwamitra Muni, he goes to the palace of Dasharath Maharaj, and he asks Dasharath Maharaj. Dasharath Maharaj is so pleased with Vishwamitra Muni. He says that, I am so pleased with your appearance. You may ask whatever you want, and I am willing to give it to you. And that's how Vishwamitra Muni, he asks for Ram and Lakshman to accompany him to kill the demons that disturb all the sages nearby who have been doing their tapasya. And with a very heavy heart and a lot of dialogue that takes place in Ramayana, Dasharath Maharaj, he parts with Ram and Lakshman. And Ram and Lakshman, they travel with Vishwamitra Muni. They travel through many, many forests. They go through different cities and different lands. And everywhere they question Vishwamitra Muni about the history of that particular place. And Vishwamitra Muni, he explains about the place in great detail, about the history of that place, why that place was very prosperous, or why that place was completely out of any vegetation. So, and then finally they come to a place known as Siddha Ashram. where a lot of sages have been doing, you know, big sacrifices. And in Siddha Ashram, Ram and Lakshman, they see this elaborate yajna performances. And after their visit to Siddha Ashram, now Vishwamitra Muni, he knew that the kingdom of Maharaj Janak is very close by. And he knew that somehow or other he had to take Ram and Lakshman to be united with Mother Sita. But he couldn't present it just that way. So he said that nearby there is a very beautiful bow, a very powerful bow that was personally gifted to Maharaj Janak by Lord Shiva. And Vishwamitra Muni, he kinds of arouses the interest of Ram and Lakshman that would you like to go and have a look at this particular bow? It's really magnificent. So just like, you know, there is a different way in which youngsters could be inspired. So just like a young boy who is interested in, you know, cricket. So if you go and say that, would you like to see the bat of Sachin Tendulkar, which he had used in, you know, World Cup 2011. And so definitely this young boy who has been practicing and who loves cricket would definitely like to have a look at such a cricket bat that was used by Sachin Tendulkar. So similarly, Vishwamitra Muni, he says that, would you like to have a look at Lord Shiva's bow? Because he knew that Ram and Lakshman, they love archery. They love, bows. So that's how he brings Ram and Lakshman to the kingdom of Mithila. And Ramayana describes that when the Mithila Vasis, they saw Lord Ramchandra walk, just by the way Lord Ram was walking, that made all the Mithilavasis confirm, that made them convinced that, you know, he is the person who is going to lift that bow and who is going to marry Sita. Because before him, many, many kings had come with an aspiration to marry Sita because she was exquisitely beautiful. But then they had utterly failed. They had failed to even budge the bow by even a few inches. So that's how it is explained. Ramayana explains that there was a lot of mysticism when Ram was walking towards the palace of Maharaj Janak. It is said that Ram was having Vyagra Gati, the rage of a tiger. Vyagra Gati. Lord Ram was having Simha Gati. He was having the power of a lion. He was having Gaja Gati, the majesty of an elephant. And he was having Sarpagati, the latent energy of a snake. And he was having Rishabhagati, the pride of a bull. And when the Ayodhya Vasis saw Ram walking this way, they were feeling very happy within their heart. Because before this, they were kind of cursing Janak Maharaj that, you know, what kind of a father is he? He has put such an absurd condition for the marriage of his daughter that, you know, looks like Sita is never going to have a husband because such is the condition. But then upon seeing Lord Ram, all of them developed this confidence that definitely now, you know, finally Sita will be united with this beautiful looking person. And that is how Ram and Lakshman, they walk into the palace of Maharaj Janak with Vishwamitra Muni. And Ram, he has a look at the bow. He sees the bow. He circumambulates the bow as a mark of respect to Lord Shiva. And he looks towards Vishwamitra Muni for his permission that, can I touch it? And Vishwamitra Muni, you know, signals that, yes, go ahead and touch it. So Lord Ramchandra, he firmly touches the bow. And once again, he looks at Vishwamitra Muni and he asks, can I lift it? And Vishwamitra Muni says, yes, go ahead and lift it. And that is how Ram, he lifts that bow as easily as an elephant lifts up a lotus flower. And seeing this, all the Mithilavasis, they are shocked once again that this very same bow, which even such powerful kings and such, you know, thousands and thousands of men had difficulty moving has been lifted by this beautiful, young, handsome looking person in such an effortless manner. And that's how Rama, he lifts that bow and he presses that bow with his toe and he tries to string the bow. As he tries to string the bow breaks into three pieces. It is mentioned that one of the pieces, it flies into the heaven. The other piece goes and flies 12 miles from the palace. And the third piece remains there itself. So, you know, and the sound of the breaking of the bow is so tumultuous that everyone in the entire universe is shaken. And when Janak Maharaj sees this, she's excited. And she and Janak Maharaj is totally excited and he calls for Sita that bring Sita immediately. And this is for the very first time that Valmiki Muni, he describes the beauty of Sita. And he describes just like the moon is accompanied by several stars at night. That is how, as Sita Devi was coming down, you know, she was just like a moon, and all of her friends who were accompanying her, they were just like small little stars. And another comparison is given, just like a beautiful waterfall, you know, cascades down from a hill. Similarly, Mother Sita was coming down the stairs with a garland in her hand, and she comes before Ramachandra and she wants to garland him. But Ramachandra, he steps back and he says to Maharaj Janak that, you know, this is not a part of the contract. I was permitted by my father to travel with Vishwamitra Muni and I was permitted by Vishwamitra Muni to go and have a look at the bow. But marriage was nowhere on the cards. And if at all I have to get married, I have to get the permission of my father. Now, hearing this, Janak Maharaj is totally disappointed that after so many years, finally, some qualified person, you know, in the form of Lord Ram, such a beautiful person, handsome, and such a powerful person has come here. And now he's, you know, completely denying to marry Sita. So Janak Maharaj is totally feeling despondent and he looks at Vishwamitra Muni that, you know, give us a solution. How do we go ahead now? So Vishwamitra Muni says that, look, Ram has not said that he won't marry. He has just said that he needs the permission of his father. And that is how, Janak Maharaj, he sends his entourage with an invitation, with this proposal to Dashrath Maharaj, and Dashrath Maharaj is more than happy. And by the joint decision of Vasishtha and Vishwamitra Muni, they decide that not just one marriage, but then all the other brothers of Lord Ram should also get married to the sisters of Sita. And that is how Lakshman gets married to Urmila, Bharat gets married to the cousin of Sita, Mandavi, and Shatrughan gets married to Shrutakirti. Before that, it is mentioned that when Sita was about to garland Lord Ram, and when she heard his resolve not to get married, it is mentioned that deep within her heart, she was getting all the more convinced that this is the person whom I should get married. So more he was denying, more she was feeling happy that finally, you know, I have come before a person whom I have to accept as a husband. So it is explained that a woman requires three things. A woman looks for three things in a man before she can give her life to him. The very first thing that she looks is protection. And Mother Sita had seen the power of Rama by the way he had lifted the Shiva Dhanush and the way he had tried to strung it and the way the bow had broken. So she was completely convinced that, you know, there cannot be a more powerful person in the entire creation than Ram himself. The second quality that she observed in Lord Ramchandra is his ability to express his emotion. Many a times, someone may be having a particular emotion within the heart, but it is very difficult. It is found that a man usually hesitates to communicate it, to explain it. Just like, you know, if a person returns from his work after a very tiring day at office, and when he comes back at his home, he's just thinking, you know, why was the day so hectic? And why this problem came up? Why he usually doesn't talk. But then the wife, he looks at the person and immediately she asks, what happened? Is everything okay? You know, she starts to speak. So that's how actually the man and the woman both are differently, you know, structured. They are differently created. The man spends more time analyzing the situation, thinking about the situation. But the lady, she wants to inquire about the situation, inquire about the well-being. So that is how, you know, Mother Sita, she observed that Ram didn't just feel some emotion and, you know, he got carried away by the events, the sequence of events that were taking place, but he was very apt in explaining his emotion before Janak Maharaj, that this is what the permission I had, and this is what, you know, in order for me to get married, I need the blessings and permission of my father. And the third thing that Mother Sita observes in Lord Ram is his quality of self-control or discipline. And Sita ji could understand that, you know, it is not just because there was a good, you know, a proposal before Lord Ramchandra, a good situation before him, which he could very easily, just like any typical person in Kali Yuga, any such facility, any such, you know, situation, a typical person in Kali Yuga would just go ahead and, you know, embrace that situation. But Lord Ramchandra, he was very much self-controlled. He was disciplined. And this quality was also noted by Sita. So that is how Mother Sita, deep within her heart, she was convinced that this is the person I want to get married to. And it is mentioned that Sita also had a great amount of clarity in her thought process. And this thinking of Mother Sita represents her quality of clear thinking. And this clear thinking also reflects in her consciousness while she was in Ashok Vatika. She had been preaching to Ravana. She had been denying the proposals of Ravana. And when she had been tortured by all the other Rakshasis, still she had maintained a soft attitude towards them. We'll discuss about this once again. And seeing this, coming back to the palace of Janak Maharaj, seeing the proposal, the acceptance by Dasharath Maharaj, the entire entourage of Dasharath Maharaj comes to Mithila, and that is how the marriage takes place. And while the marriage was taking place, it is mentioned that the citizens of Mithila somewhere saying, you know, the people of Ayodhya who had come to Mithila, they were saying that, you know, Sita should actually have 1,000 eyes to be able to appreciate the beauty of Lord Ram, because Ram is just so beautiful. But the citizens of Mithila, they were saying that Ram should actually be having 1,000 eyes because to be able to appreciate the beauty of Sita, because Sita is so infinitely much more beautiful than Lord Ram. And some citizens of Mithila were actually saying that, you know, Ram needs not just 1,000 eyes, but every moment he should be having 1,000 more eyes, because the beauty of Sita keeps on increasing over a period of time. But then Lord Ramchandra, and therefore because the beauty of Sita keeps on increasing, Ramchandra should be getting 1,000 more eyes every moment. This is the quality that is mentioned, aparyaptmitam. aparyapmitam. They said that in the material realm, the beauty decreases with time. You know, today we see so many people, they're very crazy about taking selfies. You know, every place that they go, they love to, you know, take the selfie of how they look being at that place, how they look being with other people. Because everyone knows that with the passage of time, this, you know, beauty of this material body is just going to be deteriorated. But then it is said in the spiritual realm, the beauty actually keeps on increasing. The beauty increases with time. So as the marriage is happening, Dashrath Maharaj, he places the hand of Sita above the hand of Lord Ramachandra, which is, you know, kind of opposite. Usually the hand of the male is put above the hand of the bride. But then Janak Maharaj, he places the hand of Sita over the hand of Lord Ramchandra, over the palm of Lord Ramchandra. And it is mentioned because by doing this, Janak Maharaj is mentioning that, you know, my daughter Sita, she represents love. She will represent compassion. And you as the ruler of Ayodhya, you as the king of future king of Ayodhya, you will represent law. But then for a successful and a happy society, love always has to be on top of law. And this is what we find in the life of Mother Sita, in the entire Ramayana, that wherever Mother Sita was present, Lord Ramchandra couldn't kill, you know, a demon. We find the example of Kakasur, the crow demon, who was actually Jayanta, the son of Indra. And he had been trying to attack the chest of Mother Sita. And while Lord Ram was taking rest on her lap in the forest of Chitrakoot, and just so that Lord Ram is not disturbed, Mother Sita didn't even move. But then when the blood started oozing out from her body, and a drop of blood fell on Lord Ram's face, that's when he, you know, woke up and he saw this, crow. He saw this, this crow, you know, being so, trying to, you know, harm Mother Sita. And Lord Ram, he just picks up a kusha grass and he throws at this crow. And this kusha grass takes the form of a huge fiery demon, a huge fiery weapon. And the crow starts flying all over the universe. And the crow starts to go to Indra, and Indra says, I can't protect you from this weapon. And he goes to Lord Brahmaji and so many other demigods. Finally, he goes to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma says that, you know, because you have offended the Lord, there is no other shelter other than taking shelter of the Lord himself. And therefore, finally, this Jayanta, the crow, he comes before Lord Sita and Ram. And he is looking towards Sita with his back towards Lord Ram. But still that weapon, the shiny weapon, is still shining behind Jayanta. And Sitaji could understand that this fellow doesn't know even how to surrender. And she puts her hand on the mouth of that crow and she turns Jayanta so that his face is turning towards Lord Ram. And that is how Lord Ramchandra, he forgives Jayanta. And he says that this weapon that has been released, you know, has to have effect. And therefore, that is how Jayanta is made blind by one eye. So it is mentioned that Lord Ramchandra couldn't kill that crow in the presence of Mother Sita, because Mother Sita represents the quality of compassion. Similarly, we see in another episode in the Dandakaranya forest, we see in the example of the episode of Surpanakha, that how when Surpanakha, she came before Lord Ramchandra, the comparison of the appearance of Lord Rama and Surpanakha has been described by Valmiki Muni. So it is said that while the eyes of Lord Ramchandra were just like lotus petals, the eyes of Surpanakha were deep, dry and dark well like. The waist of Lord Ramchandra was just like a lion, whereas the waist of Surpanakha was like a war drum. The hair of Lord Ramchandra, although it was matted, it was silky in appearance. It was very beautiful. But then the hair of Surpanakha is mentioned that it was spiky in nature and it was coppery red. Today we find many people, they take pleasure in having, you know, these kind of spikes and, you know, dyeing their head as coppery red. But then the hair of Surpanakha, we find back in the Treta Yuga, it was like automatically spiky and coppery red in color. And Lord Ramchandra, immediately without wasting a time, he asked that, you know, who are you? And what is it that you desire? And Surpanakha, she mentions that, you know, you are so beautiful. I would like to be your queen and we will. And then she starts presenting all the, you know, future, you know, times that they will celebrate together along with Ram as her husband and all the nice times that she will have. And she's just in a dreamy world. But Lord Ramchandra, he says that, you know, and this is one of the episodes where there is a sort of humor that comes, one of the very rare episodes in Ramayana where there is some humor. So Ramchandra, he says that, look, I'm already married and I have taken this vow of Ek Patni Vrata. But my brother Lakshman, he is still unmarried. Why don't you, Ramchandra, he says that I have my wife with me, but this Lakshman is without a wife here in the forest. So why don't you go and approach him? And immediately Surpanakha, she is delighted by that proposal. Now this is a demoniac mentality wherein the moment we find that one sense gratificatory opportunity is not, coming my way and there is a proposal for another sense gratification, immediately there is a shift. Immediately there is a turn. And Surpanakha immediately approaches Lakshman and she starts proposing him. And Lakshmanji, he says that, look, I'm just a servant of Sita here. And if you become my wife, you will have to be a servant of that lady too. And therefore, I think better you go to Lord Ramchandra. And that is how this game of ping pong, table tennis begins. Ram is sending Surpanakha to Lakshman and Lakshman is sending back to Lord Ram. And very soon Surpanakha realizes that, I am being played with. And Surpanakha says that this Sita, she is the cause of all my trouble. Now it is said that Sita was actually very young at that point of time. She was hardly some 6 or 8 years old when that exile had taken place. And whereas Surpanakha, she was being a demoness, she was more than 1,000 years old. But then still she felt that I have some threat from this, small looking girl. But then, and that is how Surpanakha, she started pouncing upon Sita. She started, attacking Sita with an intent to kill her. And that's how Ramchandra, he instructs Lakshman to act very swiftly. And Lakshman doesn't waste any moment. And, he just cuts off the nose and ear of, he chops off the nose and chops off the ear of Surpanakha. Valmiki Muni mentions that just like the Rohini Nakshatra, the Rohini meteor, starts to collide with a star. Similarly, this demoness, she was wanting to kill Mother Sita. And that is how Lakshman, he chops off the nose and the ears of Surpanakha. Because the nose represents pride. When a person is very proud, he keeps his nose very high. But then by chopping off the nose of Surpanakha, he actually, killed the pride of Surpanakha. And That is how in that state, Surpanakha goes crying to her brother's place, Ravan's palace, and she starts to call for Khar and Dushan. But then, so Acharya has explained that why is it that Lord Ramchandra did not kill Surpanakha? He just harmed Surpanakha. Lakshman just chopped off her nose, because it is mentioned that while Ram and Lakshman, while Lord Ramchandra was leaving for forest during the exile, and Mother Sita also requested to accompany him into the forest, Mother Sita said that I am just like, you know, your limb. If you are the body, I am your bodily limb. And a limb of the body cannot be separated from the body. And therefore, similarly, Krishna, it is said that the Supreme Lord considers his devotees as his own limbs. But Surpanakha, she was attached to the bodily part of Lord Ramachandra. She was attached to the limb of, she wanted to attack the limb of the Lord himself. And that is how her limbs were cut, her bodily part were cut. But then Ravana, it is said, Ravana wanted to kill the very life air, the very soul, the prana of the in the form of Lord Ramachandra. And therefore, whereas he wanted to keep the body, he wanted to kill the prana and he wanted to keep the body. And therefore, his body was killed. His prana was taken away. So that is how in the presence of Mother Sita, once again, Lord Ramchandra, he didn't kill Surpanakha. And the third example about the compassion, the compassionate nature of Mother Sita is described that when after the war took place, after Ravana was killed, so Hanumanji very jubilantly, he comes to Ashok Vatika and he, you know, breaks this news before Mother Sita that, you know, I have a very good news for you that, you know, finally Ravana has been killed and finally now you will be united with Lord Rama. Now, just upon hearing this news, Sita Devi is shocked. She is stunned. So Hanumanji gets confused that why is Sita Devi stunned? Sita Devi is stunned because she finds that, you know, for the person who has brought me this news, I have nothing to give him. That is the compassion, that is the heart of Mother Sita that is described in Ramayana. And she says that, what can I give you? I can, you know, I have nothing to give you here. So Hanumanji says that you can give me one thing. You can give me a permission to treat these demoness that who have been harassing you. So Hanumanji says that I want to take revenge upon all these Rakshasis in Ashok Vatika who have been harassing you, but I want to do it my way, the monkey way. And Hanumanji says, it's very interesting. He says that I want to hit them with my fist. I want to kick them with my feet. I want to tear them with my teeth. I want to rip them with my fingers. And I want to blow them into a pulp. Hanumanji says that I want to hit them with my fist. I want to kick them with my feet, tear with my teeth, rip with my fingers and blow them into a pulp. And Sita Devi is once again stunned that how can you speak this way? How can you, you know, say like that? And then Sitaji says that it's not their fault. It is only because they have been ordered to do so by a wrong master. And just like the scriptures describe that in the Varnashram system, every Varna has some faults. The fault of the Brahmana, the innate, sin of a Brahmana is that the Brahmana has to kill animals for sacrifice. And if the sacrifice is improper, if the sacrifice was not done properly, the animal has to lose its life. So that is the defect in the duties of a Brahmana, the defect in the duty of a Kshatriya is that many times Kshatriyas, they have to go out into the forest to practice the art of killing. And they have to do this by killing innocent animals in the forest so that they are, you know, good at war. Their Kshatriya qualities are maintained. And that is a defect in the Kshatriya Varna. The defect in the Vaishya Varna is described that one has to lie in order to be profitable. If one has to gain profits, one has to lie. If you don't lie, just like when you go to a shop, the shopkeeper tells you that, you know, the entire product is over, but then I have kept it just for you. You know, this is just a limited stock that is there. I had kept just only for you. Or the shopkeeper would say that, you know, actually I'm selling it at a very high price, but then for you, you know, I'll give you at this particular cost. So the Vaishya Varna, he has to lie. And the problem with the Shudra is that one has to accept many times a faulty master. So similarly, these demons that are there, these Rakshasis that are there, they had to accept Ravana. They had to accept a person like Ravana as their master. So therefore, everyone in this world has a fault. And she mentioned that even Lord Ramchandra had fault. And Hanumanji is taken aback. That how could Lord Ramchandra have a fault? And Sitaji says that how could Ram, he could leave the Ayodhya's, the Ayodhya Vasis in such a situation. The Ayodhya Vasis were so dear to Lord Ram and they were so in such a state of torment when we were leaving. How could Lord Ram see the Ayodhya Vasis in such a situation? So that is a fault in Lord Ramchandra. The fault in me was that I got attracted to this golden deer and I gave up the company of Lord Ram himself. And the fault in you is that you want to kill all these Rakshasis. You can't see that they have... It is none of their faults, but it is just because they had to accept a faulty master. Therefore, they were, you know, behaving the way they had been. And therefore, Sitaji says to Lord Ramchandra, you must forgive all these demons. And she narrates a story. We'll end with this particular story. She mentions that she narrates a story to Hanumanji. And she says that one time a man was being chased by a tiger. And being chased by a tiger, the man was running and he climbed up a tree. And the moment he climbed up a tree, the tiger was beneath. And there was a monkey on top of the tree. And the tiger tells the monkey that, look, we both are animals. And therefore, you should cooperate with me. Why don't you throw this human being down? So that I can, you know, feast upon him. So the monkey says that, no, this person has taken my shelter. And anyone who has taken the shelter of my tree, I won't throw him down. So the tiger is, you know, sad and, you know, is just waiting for the man to come down or for the man to fall. But then night comes and the man and the monkey, both of them, they sleep on the tree. And the tiger, while the tiger is waiting all night for either of them to fall down. And in the middle of the night, the man wakes up. So seeing the man wake up, the tiger tells the man that, look, I am very hungry. I am very hungry. Why don't you throw the monkey down so that I can eat him and I'll go my home. You also go your home. So that's how, you know, both of us will be happy. And the man finds that that's a good idea, good proposal. And the man throws the monkey down. And while the monkey is falling, somehow or the other, the monkey manages to catch the branch of a tree and once again come up. And he understands what has happened. Now the tiger tells the monkey that, look, I told you, don't trust humans. You know, look, he has betrayed you. And therefore, because you have been betrayed, now you should throw this human being down so that I can eat him. But the monkey replies something very instructive. What the monkey says is that I am not a human being. You know, once I have given shelter to someone, once I have promised shelter to someone, I can't change my position. That's what the monkey says to the tiger. And that's how, narrating the story, Mother Sita tells to Hanuman that no matter who you are and no matter which situation you are in, if you have some good qualities, you shouldn't change, you shouldn't part with those good qualities. And here Mother Sita is speaking about the quality of forgiveness, about the quality of her compassion that she has in her heart. And she instructs Hanumanji to forgive all these demonesses. In fact, in both the Ramayana and Mahabharata, we find that the conclusion of both of these Ramayana and Mahabharata, you know, ends with forgiveness. We find in the Mahabharata, at the end of the Mahabharata war, when, you know, almost all of the Kauravas are finished, just Duryodhan is in a very bad shape and lying in the field in Kurukshetra, is unable to move and completely, you know, in a very difficult situation. Ashwatthama, he comes in the dead of the night with an intent against the Kshatriya rules. He comes to the tent of the Pandavas, the place of the Pandavas, and with a desire to kill all of the Pandavas, he just, with his sword, he kills all of these five men whom he thinks as the Pandavas, but they turn out to be the sons of the Pandavas, the sons of Draupadi. And when Draupadi, when the news comes that, you know, all the five sons of Draupadi has been killed, so Arjuna takes this vow to bathe the hairs of Draupadi with the blood of Ashwatthama. And both Krishna and Arjun go and they tie up Ashwatthama just like an animal, and they drag him all the way and they bring before Draupadi. But then Draupadi, she says that, you know, we should forgive Ashwatthama. And Arjuna and Krishna both are shocked that how could she talk about forgiveness? And that is when she says that Ashwatthama is the son of Dronacharya, and Dronacharya is married to Kripi. So I don't want Kripi, the sister of Kripacharya, I don't want Kripi to undergo the same pain of having her son killed the way I am feeling this pain. So Draupadi was able to feel for Kripi, that if Ashwatthama is killed, what will Kripi go through? I don't want her to experience the same pain that I am experiencing. So this compassion of Draupadi has been glorified in the Mahabharata. Similarly, we find in the Ramayana how Mother Sita is wanting to forgive all those demonesses, all those Rakshasis who had been torturing her for almost a year in different ways, in different ways and means. In fact, it is said that the entire war in both the Ramayana and Mahabharata was fought just because one woman was mistreated. In the Ramayana, the entire kingdom of Lanka was destroyed just because the way in which Sita was mistreated. Whereas we find that the entire war of Mahabharata was fought because Draupadi had been mistreated in the assembly of the Kurus. And that is how we find the quality of compassion of Mother Sita to be very, very exemplary. There are a few more qualities that Janak Maharaj, he speaks while placing the hand of Mother Sita upon the hand of Lord Rama. And he says that this Sita is Ayo Nija, that she also doesn't have a common birth. I know that your birth is not ordinary. Lord Ram had been born from this sweet rice that was given to Dasharath Maharaj, and Kaushalya and the other kings had taken that portion of the sweet rice, and that's how Lord Ramchandra had been born. And similarly, Sita had come up from the earth by the plowing. So Dashrath Maharaj says that don't think that only your birth is not ordinary. Even the birth of Sita is not ordinary. And therefore, this Sita is Ayonija. Then Dashrath Maharaj says that she will be Dharmacharini Tava. He says that Dharmacharini, what is the meaning of the word Dharmacharini? And Janak Maharaj says that when you are following the path of Dharma, she will follow you. But when you are deviating from the path of Dharma, she will correct you. So, of course, there is a long story, but then there are many instances where it is mentioned that at least twice, Mother Sita corrected Lord Ramchandra when it appeared that he might deviate from Dharma. Of course, Lord Ramchandra never did, but then it is mentioned that while they were leaving from Ayodhya, and Lord Ramchandra, he was not willing to take Mother Sita. She said that, you know, I am just like a wheel and you are like a chariot. Just like a wheel and the chariot can never be separated. Just like the sun and sunshine can never be separated. Similarly, I'd never want to be separated from you. But then Lord Ram said that forest is a very dangerous place. There are wild animals and, you know, you have to be constantly on guard to protect yourselves. And in fact, many times in the forests, there are these big, huge waterfalls. And it is just so difficult to sleep near those waterfalls. But then Sita, she tells a story. And she says that one time Janak Maharaj, after my birth, he had called a lady astrologer. And that lady astrologer had predicted that this girl will go into the forest twice in her life. And since then, I have kept my bags packed. But then, once again, when Lord Ramchandra, he objected, that is when Mother Sita said that, you know, if my father Janak comes to know about this, you know, he would be surprised that he has married his daughter to a girl, not to a brave man. And hearing this, Lord Ramchandra is totally, you know, shaken, and that is how he, you know, takes Mother Sita also. So that is how Dharmacharini, she wants to serve him and she wants to accompany him in all the good and bad times. And the last quality, you know, the next quality that Dashrath Maharaj is mentioning about Mother Sita, she says that Sita will be just like your shadow. Now, the quality of a shadow is that, you know, a shadow is connected to the feet of a person. The only place that a shadow is connected to a person is at his feet. And when the sun is in front of the person, the shadow is behind the person. But when the sun is at the back, the shadow is actually in front. What this means is, Dashrath Maharaj mentions that sun represents prosperity. So in prosperous times, when the sun of prosperity will be shining in your life, when the sun of prosperity will be in front of you, this Sita will silently follow you from behind. She won't tell anything. She won't want to come into the limelight. She would just be following you. But at times when the sun of prosperity will seem to be setting down, when it will be behind you in your life, that is when Sita will take a forefront. That is when in difficult times, she will lead ahead of you. And in speaking so, Dashrath Maharaj mentions that, in fact, she will give you such, actually we find in Ramayana that Mother Sita, she gave such nice company to Lord Ram that in this entire kidnapping episode happened in the 14th year, in the last year of their exile. And in the first 13 years, it is mentioned that Mother Sita gave such nice company to Lord Ramchandra that Ram never felt how so many years were so swiftly passing by. in places of difficulty, in a time of difficulty. And even in the episode of killing Ravana, it was Sita Devi who actually paved the way for Lord Ram for him to go and kill Ravana. So that is how Dashrath Maharaj is mentioning that she will act just like a shadow who will be behind in prosperous times, who will just follow you in your prosperous times, but in difficult times, she will lead you, she will give you hope, and she will, you know, help you in your mission, being ahead of you. So we're just running out of time. I don't know, we don't have so much time to discuss about the other personalities. Maybe some other time we can discuss, but definitely when we meditate upon these beautiful qualities of Mother Sita and we look inside our own hearts, we find the emptiness, we find the duplicitous nature that, you know, still inherent in our own hearts because of having so much of material conditionings, and, you know, utilizing, you know, whatever level of honesty we may have in our hearts, you know, we can just fold our hands in supplication and beg for the mercy of Mother Sita to bestow us with some of these divine qualities so that we can also honestly attempt to please the Supreme Lord Ramchandra and, you know, act for her pleasure, act for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I think with those words, we'll stop over here. Thank you all very much once again for being here with us this morning and hearing to the beautiful pastime, the beautiful glories of Mother Sita. Hare Krishna, Jai Sri Ramayan ki, Jai Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.
हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी, अनंत कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम, शिल प्रभुपाद शिल गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमती श्री सीता महारानी की जय. सो नाइसली एक्सप्लेन ऑल द पॉइंट्स प्रभु जी, दैट सीता महारानी इज बैक साइड इन अ गुड टाइम इन व्हेन हर शी केम इन अ फॉरेस्ट. सीता महारानी लॉर्ड रामा नेवर फील दैट हाउ दैट 14 इयर्स पास. And so many points, Ma Prabhuji, you are explaining so sincerely. Hanumanji's Sita Maharani instruct that please forgive them. And Janak Maharaj also, there is a Jyotis is predicted about Sita Maharani. And so many points, Prabhuji, how sincerely and you explain us that what should our move to Shau Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Shri Radha Gopinath. Thank you, Prabhuji, Ananta Koti Dandvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Vijay. Thank you for your deep, deep devotional association.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your kind words.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful and very simple to understand. The class was very nice. And the start that you started the class is like we should not have envious by hearing this Ramakatha, that enviousness will go away. I pray to Krishna that my enviousness that it is there in my heart should go away on this day because your class was so nice, Prabhu. So I can overcome this enviousness in me, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, such a beautiful, beautiful class. I wanted to hear of others also, Prabhu, if you can say five minutes of Janava Mata and other appearance. Yeah,
I have some other commitments right now, Mataji. I would have loved to narrate about them as well, but then to go and see some right now.
Okay, Prabhuji, no worries. But beautiful class. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, is there anybody having any questions? Please raise your hands. I think Shyamagauri Mataji want to speak by then. Please, Mataji, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Pramushi, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful narration of Ramayana and very nice glorification of Mother Sita Devi. It's very, very nice, Prabhu. It's like we were thinking we should not stop, but because of the time, we have to stop. Prabhu, thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity, ma'am.
Thank you for your time. Association.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please raise your hand if you have any questions.
Yeah, maybe we can take one question.
Okay, Prabhuji. Okay, so Prabhu also is giving only one chance. If there is anybody having One question, please go ahead. Lavtangi Mataji is saying such a nectarian class. Thank you for your association, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu, for this wonderful, wonderful class. Prabhu, you know, like when all these from the Ramayana, from the scriptures, when we listen to such beautiful narrations and such beautiful path which is already laid down, you know, this is just a comment or maybe just what I think about it. Like, you know, if we just follow those blindly also, if we follow all these, wouldn't all the problems between married life or between the people around get solved just instantly, right? If we just follow the scriptures, like it is such easily laid down. There will be no ego. There will be no sort of, you know, fights between anything. And when it is so easily laid for us, why is it that the mankind is going so much away from all these things and making life more complicated?
Yeah, I think Krishna gives the solution. Krishna gives the answer to your question in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says that kama krodod bhavam vegam prak sharir vimokshanat. He says that the struggle with the material conditionings in this material world will be present till the time this material body is there. Prak sharir vimokshanat. You know, as long as this material body is present, you know, these struggles with, you know, ultimately whatever problems we experience is only because of the anarthas deep inside our heart. You know, if someone is really completely free of the anarthas, you know, definitely there are no problems as such. But then talking about, you know, struggling sadhakas like all of us, because we have these anarthas in our heart, and till the degree we have this material body, you know, kama krodod bhavam vegam, these vegas will keep on popping up. And that is how, till this body is there, there is bound to be struggle. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example that as long as one is in the middle of an ocean, you know, one is bound to become wet. The only solution is to get out of that ocean. So similarly, as long as, you know, we are still present in the material mindset, in the material conditioning, it is in the material world, because being present in the material world is not just a physical aspect. It is also about on the aspect of consciousness. So as long as this material consciousness is very much present, you know, we will be, you know, wet with those vegas in the heart. And therefore, when we hear about these pastimes from the Shastras, we hear these lessons from the Shastras, the objective is to come above the material mindset and see everyone as the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And once we start getting situated, the more we start getting situated on the spiritual platform, we are able to perceive the shallowness, or we are able to perceive the, you know, actual size of those problems. Just like, you know, when a person is driving in a city, he might find the skyscrapers to be very huge and, you know, something that is that might appear to be very, very big. But then when the same person, you know, takes off on a flight and lifts himself with the help of that aircraft, the same buildings, they appear to be very insignificant. Now, the buildings don't change. What changes is the perspective of the person. So similarly, the more we imbibe the lessons of the scriptures, more we understand and more we see the world, the more we see our relationships with those spiritual perspectives, the more the same problems will appear smaller, and the more we'll be determined to, you know, keep moving ahead, you know, without getting enamored, without getting, you know, completely subdued by those problems that we may experience in our life. So definitely, yes, on one hand, when Krishna says that as long as the material body is there, there is bound to be struggle. But at the same time, when we hear from the Shastras, when we hear about the glories of and the qualities of the Lord, the Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela of the Lord and his devotees, that is how we also lift our lift ourselves from a material mentality and get situated on a spiritual plane to be able to, you know, perceive the insignificant nature of material problems, which might otherwise appear to be very insurmountable. So I think that is my limited understanding. Many better devotees could better explain and provide a much better solution to your query, Mataji. But this is what is my particular understanding. I think
definitely, Prabhu. Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. I think we'll end up here. Thank you all once again for your wonderful association and for giving your time and for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you this morning. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki.
Thank you, Prabhuji, once again. We are looking forward again for your association. Thank you so much. Vancha Kalpa Tarobhyasya Kripa
Namaha.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Mataji. Radhe Radhe.
Hare Krishna.